is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan now under investigation for alleged ethics violations. The Pentagon's Inspector General says it began the probe after getting a recent complaint that Shanahan allegedly acted to promote his former employer, Boeing, and disparage its competitors. Shanahan worked at Boeing for 31 years before he joined the Trump administration. Another two-day Fed policy meeting ends yesterday, and here's the story from USA Radio's Wendy King.
The Federal Reserve decided to leave interest rates unchanged and suggested there will be no more rate hikes this year. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell says it's not because of a dire outlook on the economy.
The limited data that we have do show a slowdown. On the other hand, as I mentioned, we see the underlying economic fundamentals for growth this year as still very positive.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant will be signing a very strict abortion law, perhaps the strictest in the nation, at a ceremony this morning. It prohibits most abortions once a fetal heartbeat is detected, which would be about 6 weeks into a pregnancy. And a new study says drinking piping hot tea can double your risk of developing cancer. Researchers with the American Cancer Society say tea drinkers who like their tea warmer than 140 degrees Fahrenheit and drink two large cups of it a day have a 90% higher risk of esophageal cancer. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
It's time for Legends of Success with John Resnick. Each week, John presents the most original success stories in America. Passionate and inspiring stories from some of the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs alive today. This is Legends of Success. Here's John Resnick.
And welcome to today's edition of Legends of Success. This is America's program that introduces you firsthand to our country's outstanding entrepreneurs, CEOs, and members of the Forbes 400, and where they share with you firsthand their personal journeys of overcoming obstacles and setbacks to make it to the top. I'm John Resnick, and I thank you for sharing part of your day with us. Well, folks, if you're a regular listener of Legends of Success, you know we like to trace the paths of our guests and what they've taken and explore what often seems like an insurmountable odds they faced along the way. Well, the more I researched Tom Monahan's life, the more I discovered that Tom Monahan's life was never without great challenges, all the way back to his early childhood.
Tom Monahan's story is a life lived with tenacity, vision, and never, ever accepting failure as an option. This is the story of how a child born into poverty went on to build one of the most recognizable businesses in the world today, Domino's Pizza. Let's welcome our guest and our friend, Tom Monahan. Tom, welcome to Legends of Success.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great. And Billy and I enjoyed seeing you recently, going to dinner and just hearing some of your fascinating stories. I mean, you've lived a life, haven't you, Tom?
Well, I lived a long time.
Tom, if we look at Domino's Pizza today, we have worldwide sales over $9.9 billion and $4.8 billion alone right in the U.S., and there's 13,000 locations in 80 countries. I mean, this is truly a phenomenal success story. But it didn't start there. I mean, let's go back to the beginning. You were born March 25th, 1927, in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Tell us, what was life like growing up?
Of course, I don't remember the day I was born, but I know my parents were not too happy I wasn't born 8 days earlier, which would have been on St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
But they were poor. My dad was a truck driver, and he had some health problems. And we lived in a little house that he built. It was about the size of a two-car garage, no plumbing, and it wasn't finished when he died. There wasn't even wallpaper on some walls, just slope and studs. And
I think I read where you had to go to the creek for water. Am I correct?
Right. Well, there was an artesian well that was about a quarter of a mile away where we'd go get water.
You said in your book, by the way, the book, folks, is called Pizza Tiger. It's an unbelievable read. But you mentioned your dad. You really loved your dad. He was a gentleman, wasn't he?
Yes, he was a big gentleman. He was an athlete. He was a pro pitcher. Not big by today's standards, but everybody talked about how big he was. He was 195 pounds.
Oh, my God.
And all muscle. But he had ulcers, and he died at the age of 29. And they didn't have penicillin then. And I was 4 years old. He died on Christmas Eve, 1941.
Well, your mom had a pretty tough drill, didn't she, Tom? I read somewhere it said where she was earning $27.50 a week, but her expenses to live were $30 a week. She couldn't afford to really take care of you.
I think she got something like $11 a month of Social Security, which probably helped.
So now you're 4 years old. Your brother Jim is 2. You're both shuffled off to foster home after foster home and finally ending up at St. Joseph Home for Boys. I think I read you got in a fight the first day you walked in there.
That's right.
So what happened? I mean, this couldn't have been easy.
Yeah, I remember the fight, and it doesn't make any sense. I just looked at the guy and didn't like him and started swinging at him.
You clocked him.
And he became one of my friends. But it was a strange situation being in a place with 50 other boys all of a sudden.
I read in your book that, you know, you're on the third floor, and there's a row of little tiny single beds with metal frames.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a change. How does a young child process that? I mean, first of all, when we're adults, it's traumatic thinking of losing your parents and then not having parents. But how did you go through that, Tom?
Well, it was tough. By that time, my dad had been dead a couple of years, and for months and probably a year or more, I just wouldn't accept the fact that he wasn't coming back, that he wouldn't do that to me, that he wouldn't leave me. And then it was, after that, why my daddy have to die? Why, that was tough.
That never leaves you, does it?
Took a long time.
Really?
And I remember him quite well. I have a lot of memories of him.
You're a daddy's boy. I mean, you just love this man.
Mm-hmm.
It said in an article in the New Yorker magazine, February 19, 2007, it said that you pretty much spent every day thereafter longing for your mother to come and take you back. But you were there for what, 6 years?
6 years, yes. That was the dream to get out of there and to get back to the outside world. Because it was somewhat like a prison. It was very strict. Everything was by the numbers.
It's not easy. And the nuns were tough, weren't they?
They were tough. Well, it was a tough love. They were holy women, and they imbue us with the faith, which I'm very thankful for.
Sure. Well, it changed your life, which we'll get into in a moment as well. But I read you were a pretty rambunctious guy, you know? You were you didn't like to follow the rules, did you? And there's nothing wrong with that all the time, right?
Yeah, I wanted to be a good boy, but I that wasn't my tendencies.
Yeah, who's that famous golfer there that you clocked, you know? I heard you had a good left jab.
Yeah, well, that was I'd be one of the top golfers in the world at a match. It was a boxing match.
Right.
In the sixth grade. He was in my class. His name was Dave Hill.
Right. There was a gentleman that was on our show by the name of Walter Anderson. And when he was young, he was just abused. His father beat the living daylights out of him. And he went on to become the chairman and CEO of Parade Magazine. And we became friends. Have you ever met Walter?
I've read about him, yes. Quite a.
Well, he told me, I was sitting face to face with him. He says, you know, John, I've interviewed a lot of successful people. But the one common denominator I always found is that early in life, somebody truly believed in them. Tell me about Sister Mary Berarda. She's the one who believed in you.
Right. She thought I could do no wrong. She was my mother, my father, and my teacher. We had schools right there. She probably had three grades and probably about, I'm going to say, 20 kids, 20 boys. And there were about six in my grade. She had us from early morning until the time we went to bed. Morning prayers and then evening prayers supervised us when we were washing up every night and had class with us. And she thought that I could do no wrong.
Yeah, but if you get out of line, she nailed you, didn't she?
She never really had to do that.
No?
No, she was always pretty gentle, and I wanted to please her. Later on, when I got Sister Ladislaus, that was a different story.
Right.
She was tough. She was like a Marine Corps drill instructor.
Boy, what a life growing up. Folks, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We're really thrilled to have our guest today, Tom Monahan, the founder of Domino's Pizza. Just talking about his life growing up, father dying at age 4 on Christmas Eve, his mother having a tough time, foster home to foster home, ending up in an orphanage. And we get back, we're going to find out exactly how Tom helped navigate his way. It was tough. It was not easy. And especially for some of the students and young people who are listening, you're having tough times. That's the spirit and the purpose we do this show, is to provide examples like Mr. Monahan that'll show you no matter how tough you have it, you can get through it. And I also want to mention for the young students, parents, and teachers who are listening, I came across a phenomenal book written specifically for elementary school students. Very easy to read. And the title is Tom Monahan, Domino's Pizza Innovator, published by Abdo Publishing. This book goes over Tom Monahan's life from his childhood all the way through to Tom's creating Domino's Pizza and right up to his charitable endeavors today. The reason I bring this up, for young readers, this is a wonderful and inspirational book to teach you about entrepreneurship. So I want to commend Abdo for creating such thoughtful books on entrepreneurship for young students. And a very special thanks to Paul Skye, an executive at Abdo, for sending it to me. Check them out at Abdo Publishing, A-B-D-O, abdopublishing.com. I'm John Resnick, and you're listening to Legends of Success.
And now, some legendary advice from the Legends of Success. Sarah Blakely started out with an idea, but no business background. And today, she runs a multi-million dollar company called Spanx.
The single most important piece of advice you can give to our listeners who are in business, going into business, having tough times in business, what is that, Sarah?
I would say you have to trust your gut. Don't consult everyone else around you. A lot of times that clouds you and takes you away from your gut. You know the answer. You know the right thing inside of yourself, and you've got to cultivate that. It's like a muscle. You know, the more that you force yourself to do it on your own without consulting everyone else around you, the more that will happen.
A young lady who started out with an idea and a dream and absolutely didn't take any rejection from anyone seriously, and she followed her dream. And today, Sarah has a $150 million company, growing leaps and bounds. The name of the company is Spanx.
To learn more about the legends, visit legendsofsuccess.com. American investors lost $3.7 trillion of net worth in the fourth quarter of 2018. When your portfolio's value decreases right before or early in your retirement, it can have a crippling effect. It's called sequence of returns risk, and it's a risk you simply cannot afford. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we're on a mission to help hardworking Americans transform their hard-earned savings into steady, predictable retirement income. Call now for free, no-obligation information to help you get
started on your way to steady, predictable retirement income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Let's transform that risk into income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies, powered by the Retirement Income Store.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine. When you want to learn who America's most successful people are, read our Forbes 400 list. When you want to hear firsthand how they got there, listen to Legends of Success with John Resnick. Legends of Success is one of the most original radio programs in years. Legends of Success with John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We are having a wonderful visit today with our friend Tom Monahan, the founder of Domino's Pizza, one of the most successful and highly recognized businesses in the world today. Before we took a break, we were talking about Tom's childhood. His father dies at Tom's age of four. His younger brother Jim was only two at the time. Christmas Eve, he bounced around from foster homes and into an orphanage. And Tom, you're saying you were in an orphanage for 6 years, and you're around 12 years old, and your mom actually came back. What did that feel like? She came back to get you, didn't she?
Yes. Well, it wasn't like she disappeared during those 6 years. She lived very close to the orphanage, and she, after my dad died, she went back and got her nursing certificate, and she was a registered nurse. And she did support us. It was $7 a week. And she came to visit us from time to time and take us out for dinner once in a while, and so it wasn't like she was abandoned us.
Sure, sure.
She did the best she could.
When she came back at age 12, that didn't last long, though, did it, that you were out?
No. That was something I was really looking forward to.
I know.
To get out in the world like everybody else. Now, she was a pretty emotional, high-strung person and couldn't handle two boys. And so we wound up going to living in foster homes, mostly farms, around northern Michigan where we lived. And I liked farm life. Yeah, the only problem is I couldn't go out for sports because I had to do chores, and I love sports, particularly basketball.
I think you said in one of your stories that you were up early before school milking cows and doing the chores. And
oh, yeah.
I think you even said that one farm you lived in this room, it was so cold you could see daylight coming through the walls and there was frost on the windows. There was no heat. Am I right?
Yeah, one stove downstairs. But I was upstairs, and there was open rafters, and you could see cracks through the – and we had no electricity. And we heated with wood and cooked with wood and ironed with wood.
Oh, my gosh.
You can imagine that.
you went back there, I guess you were about 13 when you were back into the foster homes for a few years. Did you ever dream, how am I going to get out of here? How am I ever getting out of this place?
Yeah, I didn't exactly like the situation I lived in, but it was better in the orphanage. And most of these people that took me in, we got along well. And there were farms, and I helped with the chores. And in fact, the last one I was at that didn't have electricity or anything, they gave me $2 a week. They didn't have to do that. Because they appreciated the work I did. And I enjoyed the work, milking cows and cleaning the barns and pitching hay and cutting wood and all that stuff.
When you think about your story and Jim's story, okay, what about kids that may be listening right now and they're going through, they have a broken home, there's tons of broken homes out there, kids going through a tough time. What advice would you have for them while they're young now?
Well, I don't know if I'd be, my experience would be of any help. What was I thinking of back then? I was thinking mainly of what I was going to do when I got on my own, because I couldn't do anything until I was out of high school and definitely, and particularly when I reached the 21, when I could do anything I wanted. That's what I was looking forward to, and that's what I was probably thinking about.
So you focused on that, and one day I'm out of here, and then I've got my freedom. But you almost got out quicker than you wanted to. What happened at age 15 in seminary?
I got kicked out.
Right?
Yeah.
What happened? Are you goofed off or what?
Well, I goofed off a little bit, but not much. I was a very serious seminarian. Probably, I think, as much as anybody there. I wanted to be a priest. And a lot of them were there because their mothers wanted them there. That was in the days when it was a big thing to be a priest, and mothers kind of pushed their oldest boy. So there were a lot of kids that had A's in grade school, and so in the ninth grade, they were kind of expected to go to seminary, and they really didn't know why they were there. I did. Mm-hmm. And I was very comfortable with that institutional experience. They'd all get homesick. Half of them actually left the first week. And that was by design, because they had so many vocations in those days. They had to weed them out. But my mother wrote a letter to the rector saying I wasn't writing home very often. He'd call me in the office and had the letter in his hand and chewed me out. And then the next day he called me in and said, when you pack your bags for Easter, pack them for good. I said, what? He said, you don't have a vocation. And I cried. I was really upset.
Oh, my gosh.
And I really didn't. That was the end of the 10th grade. The last couple of years, I really didn't crack a book, hardly. I barely graduated. And I was always a pretty good student.
Well, barely graduated, I think, St. Thomas High School, Ann Arbor, you graduated number 44 out of?
44.
Out of 44. So, and the story, as the story goes, you begged one of the nuns, please have me graduate. And what did she tell you? Do you remember?
I'll let you graduate, but don't ever ask me for recommendation for college. And they said, you had good marks in the seminary, so I'll...
It's amazing. Now,
so that's why I knew I was last in the class.
Yeah, but you know, Tom, you weren't I'm not patronizing you. You weren't a dumb kid. And there's a lot of kids that aren't dumb that don't get the grades. You were either bored or you're distracted. I will never compare myself to you. I mean, you've hit heights that people can even dream of, okay? But I used to get bored in high school. I would skip school and I'd go read the Wall Street Journal. You couldn't have been a dummy back then.
No, I've always got good grades. My IQ is supposed to be pretty high.
Sure.
And in the Marine Corps, on the tests they give you, I was second in my outfit. But it was mostly pattern analysis, which is something I apparently was good at.
Unbelievable. Well, do you remember the quote that was in your yearbook when you left?
Yeah.
That tests your memory.
The harder I try, the worse I get. But I'll do something sensational yet.
There you go. That's it, folks. But if you're tuning in, this is Tom Monahan. We're visiting with Tom Monahan, the founder of Domino's Pizza. What an incredible story. This man has had some path. You're listening to Legends of Success. After high school, I know you knocked around a little. You drove a truck, and you actually saved money to go to Ferris State to transfer to University of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
You had to drop out. Eventually, funny story about you, thought you're joining the Army, but what happened?
I wound up in the Marine Corps.
How did that happen?
Well, I was looking for a job that summer. I was on my own the day I got out of high school, so I had to not only pay for my living expenses, I had to save money for college on top of it. And I wasn't quite making it. So I went to Chicago to look for a job, a hitchhike there, because I couldn't find anything in Michigan. And I was walking by the post office one day in Harvey, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago. And I saw the recruiting poster in there, and I remembered seeing an ad in the Army saying that if you join the Army, they'll pay for your college. So I thought, well, I'll ask about it. And so I went in and asked, and they said, the recruiter, he said, yeah, that's true. If you go in for 3 years, you get 2 years of college. And it was always Army, Army, Army. It was a Marine, but I didn't know that. He was wearing the summer uniform, which is a beige, and I thought all Marines wore dress blues. It wasn't until they sent me downtown to the Loop. I went through all the tests and everything, and we're signing the forms, and I saw a Globe and Anchor in the corner. And I thought, because everything I heard all day there was Marine, I thought, well, it's all the branches, but today's a big day for Marines. Well, it turns out all it was Marines. And so I asked the recruit next to me, I said, is this the Marine Corps or is this the Army? And he thought, it's the Marine Corps, you idiot.
Surprise.
So I said, well, what's the difference? And I signed it.
Unbelievable. But you said it was one of the best experiences you ever had. I think you even said if you had a son, you would never get a thing for, he would never get a thing from you until he went through the Marines. Didn't you say that?
That's right. Yeah. But I had four daughters, so I haven't been able to.
That's right. Well, you could say that.
Yeah, I think it's the best thing I've ever done.
Unbelievable. Folks, what a fascinating story we have with Tom Monahan, the founder of Domino's Pizza. I'm John Resnick on Legends of Success. When we get back, we're going to see where the rubber meets the road. How did he open up his first location? How did he get into business? And how does a guy coming out of the Marines stumble into the pizza business? You're going to find it out as soon as we get back. Thanks so much for being with us. You'll be right back on Legends of Success.
Still to come.
Have you always seemed to have traits to see things ahead of the crowd?
Well, I've always been a dreamer, and I've always thought big. Like when I first store became successful, and it was mostly because of delivering to the dorms. I was in the library in the reference section with a book on colleges and universities in the United States, writing down the dorm capacities of every school in the country. And so there's about 200 of them that were pretty sizable. And then later on, when I discovered military bases, I found out where the big military bases were, about 100 of them, so I just went open stores in all those places.
You're listening to Legends of Success with John Resnick. Missed part of this week's great Legends of Success interview? You can hear each week's show online on our website at legendsofsuccess.com. Every week, a great guest to listen to, learn from, and enjoy at your convenience. Look for the link at legendsofsuccess.com. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Two American missionaries now heading home to the United States after being detained in Russia for nearly 3 weeks. Russian authorities had arrested Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints missionaries Cole Brodowski and David Gogg on March 1st. The 20-year-old Brodowski and 19-year-old Gogg were accused of violating Russia's laws against foreign citizens carrying out missionary work in Russia. An Arizona mother with a popular YouTube channel jailed on $200,000 bond after being arrested for alleged child abuse. Michelle Hobson accused of harshly punishing her 7 adopted kids, which appear on the Fantastic Adventures channel, which has over 800,000 subscribers. March Madness ramping up today as the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament Round of 64 begins with 4 games each in Hartford, Jacksonville, Des Moines, and Salt Lake City. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Tom Monahan is our guest today on Legends of Success. Tom is the founder of Domino's Pizza. Not only the founder, he built it into an empire. Just before we took a break, We were talking about Tom had signed up. He thought he signed up for the Army, ended up in the Marines. He's there for several years. He gets out. He's discharged. Without getting into the story, I know you lost your savings that you saved up for the Marines to a con man. But 1960, age 23, your brother Jim was working for the post office. Mm-hmm. And he came to tell you about some opportunity. What was that, Tom?
Well, he was a mailman. He used to stop for lunch at a pizzeria in Ann Arbor. And he got to know the owner, and he found out that he had another store in Ypsilanti, which is next to Ann Arbor. And it had closed up. It was a total failure. There was a hole in the wall. They asked me if I'd go in with him. What I was doing at that time, I was working two or three jobs trying to save up some money to go to Michigan. Because I lost 3 years of savings when I was in the Marine Corps to a con man just before I got out. So the idea was I'd do this, and I'd work half the night. He'd work half the night, and I'd have time to go to school. I wanted to be an architect. And then, we'd have sell enough pizza so I could pay to go to school, and that was the plan.
Sure.
And then after we signed the papers, and this was a $500 down deal, and we borrowed the down payment, so we didn't have any money.
And the man was Dominic DeVardi?
Yes. So after we signed the papers, my brother came to me one day and he said, I just can't give up the security of the post office. I can't do it.
Oh, boy.
He's making about $68 a week. So there I am. There goes my college. I'm stuck with it. I'm going to have to run the thing myself.
What did you know about the restaurant business or the pizza making business? This is a new venture.
Oh, it was new. The only thing I knew about pizza, I loved to eat it.
So $500, you borrowed $900 and paid him $500 to get in, right?
Right.
It closed up for 6 months. How did that guy fail, and what did you think you were going to do differently to make it a success, Tom?
Well, I didn't know. I just going to have to figure it out.
Wow.
And I just talked to everybody in the food business that was selling to us and asked them questions about what other pizza places did. And
tried to figure it out. Year number one, I'll take you back. Well, I'm back memory lane. Your quotes: my life was going down the tubes, lots of debt, I'm working 24/7. Jim left after 8 months of being in the business, and you were actually evicted from a rented room across the street, and you had to sleep in the pizza shop. I mean, how many sleepless nights did you have in that first year?
Well, they weren't long nights of sleep, that's for sure. And I ate a lot of mistakes, a lot of burnt pizzas, a lot of bad orders that came back, and there was a bakery next door. I ate a lot of the day-old stuff that they couldn't sell.
Well, you said you couldn't afford your own pizza. You could only eat the burnt ones or the ruined ones.
Right.
Am I correct?
Right.
One of your unique differentiators is that you like locations that were either on college campuses or military bases because you knew there were tons of people. But there was a Sunday night when the dorms weren't the campus. They just weren't feeding them at the dorms. There was nothing serviced.
Right.
So that was your busy night. And then something went wrong that night, right?
And this was at Eastern Michigan University, which wasn't a very big school at that time. And we were always busy. We never handled the business. And I had five sizes of pizza then, 6, 9, 12, 14, and 16-inch pizzas. And most of the pizzas I sold were the 6-inch pizza. And that's one of the reasons I wasn't making any money. And people ordered 3, 4, or 5 of those instead of a bigger pizza.
Mm.
And when we opened up at 4:30, the phone's ringing off the hook right away on Sunday. So half the help didn't show up that night. So we didn't know what to do. And we didn't know whether we should open at all or just handle carry out, no delivery. And someone said, why don't we just cut out the 6-inch pizzas? And I had to make a fast decision, so I said, because the phones were ringing up. And I said, okay, well, let's do that. And then when it gets to where we can't handle anymore, we'll just pull the phones. And that was our game plan. We never got busy the whole night. At the end of the night, we counted the money, and it was 50% higher than any night we've ever had. So the next night, I cut out the 9-inch pizza. And then just a matter of a month or so, we paid off the bills, and I'm making money, and I'm working at my second store.
And that really was the impetus, the beginning of keeping your menu so simple. Am I correct? That was the birth of that lesson.
Right. During our big growth years of the 80s, mm-hmm. when we grew faster than any restaurant chain in history, we had two sizes of pizza and Coke. That was all.
And it wasn't a sit-down restaurant. Yours is a real simple, streamlined operation.
Right.
In 1961, you got your second store in Mount Pleasant. You ran into another guy by the name of Jim Gilmore, who mm-hmm. talked you into going in 50-50 again.
Another Irishman. Because the guy that conned me out of the three-year savings was an Irishman. When I used to ask anybody and everybody that knew anything about the business, I'd pick their brains, and he was very helpful.
Right.
He had been in the pizza business, went bankrupt, and he was a former alcoholic on the wagon. And he was very smart, very good talker, and I tried to hire him. And this is after things are going well and I'm making money, so that I could grow the business and get somebody that had more experience than me. And he'd been in the food business his whole life. He was 51. I was, at that time, 24.
Yeah, you're a kid back then.
I was a kid, yeah. And so it turned out, I asked if he'd come to work for me. And he said, well, if I did that, I'd have to have a PC action. I wasn't counting on that, but I said, well, how much would you have to have? And I figured, well, 10%. He said, 50%. I thought, what? I said, what would you pay me for 50%? And the business was worth something at this time.
Sure.
He said, $500.
So he valued your business
proposal.
At 1,000.
It was the stupidest proposal, and I did it.
Wow.
And I never got the $500.
Why? What
the guy robbed me blind for 3 years.
Oh, my gosh. And you signed on to all his debt, and he left?
Right, because he had been bankrupt before, and so he had no credit. And so everything was in my name, and we got into some other restaurants and things.
It's interesting. Through all these, and you know, at some point here, you had so many creditors, you know, as you were going on. You must have learned a lesson from this, but you had 1,000 creditors, 150 lawsuits. Does that sound about right?
I remember the 150 lawsuits and the creditors were certainly over 1,000.
You made a statement.
That I couldn't pay.
It's incredible, but you never once would give in for bankruptcy. You were adamant about not going into bankruptcy.
There's two words I did not like, bankruptcy and divorce.
Yeah.
And it was day to day for a number of years.
I'll bet it was. Yeah. The bank even took it back at some point,
yes,
didn't they?
Yes, right.
And they finally said, Tom, take it back. We don't even want it anymore. Am I right?
Yeah, they brought in some supposedly experts to run it. And after 10 months, they kind of run roughshod over the franchisees, and the franchisees filed a suit. And so they milked it and gave it back to me.
Oh.
So there I was with the business worse shape than before with a big lawsuit.
So you thought the franchisees would say, oh, you're back. They're gone. They won't do anything. Then they sued you.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You know, if tenacity and never, ever, ever giving in doesn't describe Tom Monahan, I don't know what does. When we get back, folks, we want to talk about how this took off, Tom's wealth that he built, and then one day he had an epiphany, and I'm going to let him share that with us of what happened. What an incredible story of Domino's Pizza. A man that comes out of total poverty, build up one of the largest, most successful franchise systems in the world. We'll be right back on Legends of Success.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
You know who they are, and now you get to meet them. These are America's Legends of Success with John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick, sitting here today with our friend Tom Monahan, the founder of Domino's Pizza. I'll tell you, what a life story. Where we left off in the last segment is that Tom went through another great setback, getting sued by franchisees, creditors, all due to a partner he went in business with who kind of pulled the rug out from under him. Tom, several years later, I guess by 1983, you had paid everybody off, you settled the lawsuits, you're up to about 1,100 stores. One question I have is, by now, you must have perfected something that was so different than everyone else. What did you see in the pizza industry that no one else saw? Because you got into the most competitive type of restaurant there is.
Well, delivery wasn't competitive, but it was very difficult. So there weren't many people in it.
In delivery.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I was the first one to focus on delivery. Most places that delivered did it because they had to. As soon as they got enough inside business or get a beer license, they'd cut out delivery. I was the first one to cut out everything else and just focus on delivery. I said, this is something nobody wants but the customer. And so I figured that I'm going to find a way to make it work.
So you saw that as an epiphany that nobody else actually saw, or they didn't see the value in it like you did.
Well, my first store became the first of the busiest pizzeria in the state of Michigan in about 3 years, 2 years maybe. Mm-hmm. About 4 or 5 years later, after I split up my partner, it became the busiest pizzeria in the world.
You were doing 5,000 a week back then, weren't you?
5,000 pizzas.
Yeah, 5,000 pizzas a week.
And then I had the second store, and that was Ypsilanti. That's now a big campus.
Yeah, sure.
And I opened up in Ann Arbor, and then I opened up in East Lansing in Michigan State. So I probably had the three busiest pizzerias in the world. Cool. So the idea was to take that and run with it before someone else got the idea.
There's a quote I got out of an article. It said, Tom Monahan became a billionaire because he had an idea that almost anyone else could have had. When one thinks about it, it's almost as if Monahan had a flash of genius and plucked $1 billion out of the air. And that was delivery in 30 minutes or less, and no one else saw it. Our guest today is Tom Monahan, the founder of Domino's Pizza. When we come back, we'll learn about Tom's dreams and aspirations and how Tom credits being a dreamer actually contributed to his success. I'm John Resnick, and you're listening to Legends of Success.
Hello, this is Dr. David Watson, headmaster at Community School of Naples in Naples, Florida, and you're listening to Legends of Success with John Resnick.
Wouldn't it be great to see your windows in a whole new light? Do it right. Call your local neighborhood experts. Budget Blinds. You'll get beautiful style and personalized service for every budget. We bring the showroom right to your home, so you can choose from hundreds of blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes. Plus, smart home window coverings you control with the touch of a button. And with Budget Blinds, we do it all for you. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. When we say we have style and service for every budget, we really mean it. So let's get your home a whole lot of gorgeous. Get your free consultation right at home. Just go online to budgetblinds.com or call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free consultation right at home. Now that's beautiful. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 For more information about any of our programs or to join, NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Ethan Resnick, and you're listening to my dad, John Resnick, on Legends of Success.
Our guest today is Tom Monahan, the founder of Domino's Pizza. Have you, as an individual, have you always seemed to have traits to see things ahead of the crowd?
Well, I've always been a dreamer, and I've always thought big. Like when my first store became successful, and it was mostly because of delivering to the dorms, I was in the library in the reference section with a book on colleges and universities in the United States, writing down the dorm capacities of every school in the country.
That's so brilliant.
And so there's about 200 of them that were pretty sizable. And then later on, when I discovered military bases, I found out where the big military bases were. There were about 100 of them, so I just went to open stores in all those bases.
That's incredible. And that really was your model. I think at one time you got sidelined, you got in trouble when you got, well, I guess that was a that partner sideline and got you to put them out in the suburbs where they just didn't follow your business model, right?
Yeah. But actually, in the long run, the suburbs did better than the campuses.
That's interesting.
Because they were year-round business, and you've got to make your money in about 7.5-8 months on campus, and then you have a new market you got to cultivate every year, and the campuses attract competition, and the prices are lower. And I didn't start out with the best markets. I just thought they were.
Yeah, but you know, look what you did. You went where they didn't. I mean, you just saw that opening. Obviously, everyone started copying you after a while, so you had to think on your feet. But you know, as time went on, you said, I was making money like I had never seen in my life. And you said you went a little overboard buying things. I think at one time you had a Gulfstream, a Sikorsky helicopter, 1,700-acre complex Domino Farms, and in 1983... you had one of the greatest purchases of your life, wasn't it?
The Detroit Tigers.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a dream come true.
You always wanted to play. You never knew you'd own it, right?
I always dreamed I'd be a shortstop for the Tigers when I was a kid. When I met Sparky, our manager, for the first time, I told him that, that I always dreamed when I grew up I'd play shortstop for the Detroit Tigers. And Sparky said, I love my mother, but she ain't going to pitch for me.
Well, it's a nice way of telling you to find another avenue. But nonetheless, Tom, you were now, I mean, you were at the top of the world. This was an absolutely incredible life. You had a collection of over 400 collector cars. I mean, this was, I think, the most expensive Bugatti in the world. Mm-hmm. And at some point, right at all this time, right at the peak, you read a book by C.S. Lewis and your life changed. What happened?
Well, he had a chapter on pride. That hit me right between the eyes. And so I couldn't sleep. I hated the show-off, and I realized I'm probably the biggest show-off in the world. Because everything I'm doing is trying to impress people, and I'm working my tail off to do it. But that's not what Sister Brada would have been happy with. So I took what I call a millionaire's vow of poverty. I gave up all the ostentatious luxuries. And during the period of 3-4 years, I probably spent more money on that sort of thing than anybody ever had in history up to that time. And I justified every bit of it. I had a justification for it.
During this streak of accumulating all this, you know, material goods and building your wealth, do you think somewhere in the back of your mind you were driven mostly by the experience you had and what you called the embarrassment of poverty when you were young and you just were too scared to ever go back to that life, somewhere in the back of your mind?
Yeah. When I look at it now, it looks so foolish, but I don't know what possessed me, but I've always dreamed of having the best of everything. And I couldn't understand why somebody would drive a Buick if they could afford a Cadillac. I just didn't understand that.
Right.
That's how sick I was. Now it's the other way around.
Well, you know, they say it's lonely at the top. I think it's lonelier on the way to the top because nobody wants to believe in you. But it seems like there's three kinds of people. Those who say, yeah, I think he can do it, and I'm going to be happy for him. Those who say, you'll never make it, and they're never going to be happy for you. And then there's a group that could care less one way or the other. People seem to change, you know, the way they treat you.
Yeah, well, certainly the media. When I was coming up, I was one Rachel Elder story after another. It was all positive. Mm-hmm. And then when it got to the point, I had the Tigers, and I was climbing up the Forbes list of the wealthiest people in the country. Then it started changing. They kind of want to knock you down.
1998. You're 61 years old. You said, that's it. You know, Domino's, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, had about 6,100 stores at the time, 4,400 in the U.S. So it sold reportedly for $1 billion. Your life changed, and now you became tremendously, fiercely dedicated to one single cause, which you are involved with today. Tell us about Ave Maria, Tom.
It's a liberal arts school. It's in Florida. It's one of the... It's probably the only Catholic university, I'm not talking small colleges now, that is not controlled by a religious order like the Jesuits or a diocese. It's completely controlled by the board of directors. And the board of directors, every member has to be a committed Catholic to be on the board. They try to design it so that it would stay faithful to the church through the ages. Like a lot of your famous private schools, Harvard, Princeton, all of them started out as religious schools, and then that got pushed aside over time. And I didn't want that to happen here. And they say it was the most watched school by other Catholic schools.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You put a few dollars into it, didn't you, Tom?
Yeah.
If you don't mind me asking, it's out there anyway. How much did you commit already to Ave Maria?
Well, between the town and the university and the law school, I really don't keep track, but it was certainly over $500 million.
My Lord. How is it doing today? I mean, you know, this is a tough climate for a private school, especially.
Yes, it is. But the university's doing well.
Great.
The law school is a separate from the university, and that's coming along. Law schools have had quite a struggle lately. Enrollments have dropped dramatically around the country. Mm-hmm. But we've weathered that storm, and we're doing well there. And I'm spending more time on that because I have more responsibility there. I'm the chairman there. At the university, I pass the baton. I'm just another board member. And then I've got Legatus, which is an organization for Catholic CEO, and that's my day job. We have chapters all over the country, and the idea is to get practicing Catholics who are CEOs of companies of a certain size and just create an environment where they help each other become better Catholics. And I got a big send-off and endorsement on that from John Paul II.
Wonderful.
29 years ago.
But Tom, we are out of time, but I really want to thank you for being such a great guest today.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Also, I want to give special thanks to our friend Kevin Seepley, who is the dean of the Ave Maria Law School. Kevin gave us the intro to Tom Monahan. We thank you, Kevin. And folks, most importantly, thank you so much for being with us today. This has been Legends of Success, the most original success stories in America. I'm John Resnick. We'll see you next week.
Mike Hewitt here. Who would have guessed a country that provides more for more people than any other country now or in human history because of capitalism would be steeped in debate over socialism, especially given the indisputable failures of socialism? Our media is the only constitutionally protected enterprise in America. With that comes a tremendous responsibility to be anchored in truth, the entire and complete truth. They're not interviewing immigrants from Honduras, Guatemala, or El Salvador, asking why they risked all to leave socialistic economies. They're not seeking out Venezuelan, Cuban, or former Soviet citizens to inquire how that worked out for them. Come on, journalists, give us the unvarnished, unbiased, entire truth. Let us decide. The American people are smarter than you think. And teachers, you have a responsibility beyond your own politics as well. Agree or disagree? Find the Mike Hewitt Show on Facebook and tell us what you think.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
He's the suspect in a case last year that struck fear into Americans. Suspected mail bomber Cesar Sayoc, now to be in a Manhattan courtroom soon, expected to enter a guilty plea, though it's not clear what he's going to plead guilty to. Prosecutors have charged him with 30 counts, including using a weapon of mass destruction. The Florida man accused of mailing bombs last year to prominent Democrats and other critics of Donald Trump. None of the bombs detonated and no one was hurt. Burning since Sunday, a chemical fire in the Houston area has officials now asking residents of Deer Park to stay indoors as they've detected higher levels of benzene.
We're being very conservative. The safety of our community is our number one concern.
Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo, who says they have local and state partners keeping a very close eye on the situation. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? I'm happy to inform you there's a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you decide your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care, because our rights come from God, not government. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. It was for me. I joined. I'm a member. My children are members. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids for $449 per month. That's my cost, and I'm loving it. This is the way healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. And regain control of your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Remarks by Kentucky's Republican Governor Matt Bevin about exposing his children to chickenpox, raising some eyebrows.
They were miserable for a few days.
Governor Matt Bevin making the remark in a Wednesday interview while suggesting the government should stay out of mandating vaccines. He says when a neighbor got the disease, he intentionally exposed all 9 of his kids to it so that they would get the disease and become immune to chickenpox.
And I went and made sure every one of my kids was exposed to it, and they got it. They were miserable for a few days, and they all turned out fine.
The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention urging against deliberately exposing kids to any sort of disease. Mississippi Republican Governor Phil Bryant is about to sign a new abortion law that may be the strictest in the nation. It prohibits most abortions once a fetal heartbeat's detected or about 6 weeks into pregnancy. A bright light seen last night above Los Angeles, mistaken for a meteor or alien spacecraft. It was actually a precision skydiving team for a photo shoot. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
President Trump will be meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House on Monday. Speaking beside Secretary of State Mike Pompeo yesterday in Jerusalem, Netanyahu said the U.S.-Israeli alliance has never been stronger.
It's an unbreakable bond that's based on shared values of liberty and democracy and shared interests to fight the enemies of democracy, the enemies of our way of life.
The Israeli leader dealing with problems at home, including being the subject of an ongoing corruption investigation. No one matched all 5 numbers in the Powerball drawing last night, so Saturday's drawing will be worth at least $625 million. An Arizona mother with a popular YouTube channel remains jailed on $200,000 bond following her arrest for alleged child abuse. 48-year-old Michelle Hobson, accused of harshly punishing her 7 adopted kids when they didn't perform well in videos that she posted on her popular Fantastic Adventures channel, which has over 800,000 subscribers. Her 2 adult sons are also facing charges. A new study says drinking piping hot tea can almost double the risk of esophageal cancer. The researchers were with the American Cancer Society. And March Madness really ramps up today as the NCAA men's basketball tournament round of 64 begins in 4 cities. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspector.